Let's pray one more time. Father, thank you that we have sung your praises, but Lord, now it's time to hear your word. So Lord, I ask that you will remove me from this and just let, Lord, your Holy Ghost, your Holy Spirit, speak to us in what we need to hear this morning, for all things are possible with you. So Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we continue our narrative, we'll again be in Luke chapter 1, verse 31 through 38. Now, we had kind of started this last week, and we talked about how the angel Gabriel proclaimed who Jesus was and how he was going to come about. Well, let's pick up in verse 31. And it says, "And behold," now this is Gabriel talking to Mary, "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end." Now we covered that last week. Now we're picking up. Verse 34. "Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her." Now, next week, we're going to talk about the Matthew narrative, and we'll see the angel again. Maybe not Gabriel, because in the Matthew narrative, the angel is not named. And then we're going to talk about the wise men. And then on Christmas Eve, when we have our service, we'll have the actual birth, where the angel sang to the shepherd and everything. All of this fits together in a wonderful way. But we're going to concentrate on Mary today. Now, Mary, according to most scholars, was probably between the age of 12 and 15. So we're going to estimate around 14 years of old, give or take. And she was told by the angel Gabriel that she will be pregnant. Not only would she bear a son, it would be God's son, the promised one, the Messiah. Now, Mary was not stupid. Okay, she was not stupid. She knew the birds and the bees. If she was going to get pregnant, there had to be a cause. And since she had never slept with a man, how could this pregnancy come upon her? That's not the normal way it happens, is it? On top of that, Mary also knew the penalty for getting pregnant after already being espoused to Joseph, which we've covered before. Much more than just an engagement. It was a legal binding contract, and if she was found to be pregnant, she would be accused of adultery, and the penalty for adultery was death. And like we just said, we also know from the Gospel of Matthew that the angel also informed Joseph after Mary had been found pregnant of the situation. And like I said, we're going to examine that next week in the Matthew narrative. But suffice to say for now that Joseph obeyed and took Mary as his espoused wife. However, it must be noted that he did not consummate the marriage until after Mary gave birth to Jesus. Thus, while Mary was a virgin when she became pregnant and was a virgin when Christ was born, she did not stay a virgin according to the Gospels. In fact, Matthew 13, verse 55, says this, talking about Jesus, "Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brothers, James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas, and his sisters," that means at least two, "are they not all with us? Where then did this man get these things? Thus Mary had at least six other children in the traditional way, and the Gospels do not lie. And God bless her, I look forward to meeting Mary. Every one of us in here who is in Christ one day are going to get to meet Mary when we get to heaven. We are, and I'm looking forward to it. Now I imagine she's going to have a few words to say to some people that give her a little more credit than she's due. But that's a whole other issue for a whole other time. But she was a young girl. and the angel told her this incredible news. And she was astonished by the news of her predicament, but faithful to the word of God sent to her by God through Gabriel. And like I said, Joseph's angel was not named. But her question then is not surprising. How can this be? How many of us, obviously not in the exact same situation as Mary, but go to God with a similar question. Something happens, whether positive or negative. We say, God, how can this be? Why are you letting this happen? How am I going to get by? What's going to happen to us? We ask very similar questions all the time. But listen to Gabriel's response. Sorry, I get a little informal. I spend a lot of time in the Word and some of these angels and stuff. They don't speak to me in person, but the Word of God speaks to me, so sometimes I get, you know, a little informal, so I'll call them Gabe and Zach, and you know, so please forgive me for that. But anyway, and the angel answered, verse 35, and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born unto thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who is called barren, for with God nothing is impossible. God let Mary know through Gabriel that His very Spirit, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, and folks, I don't know why people get hung up with the words Holy Ghost. I mean, it's there in the Bible. It's interchangeable. But I'm going to tell you what, that Holy Spirit came upon Mary and boom, she got pregnant. Folks, I don't know how many couples out there have prayed and prayed and prayed to conceive. Now, obviously, the Holy Spirit didn't produce, like with Mary, but like with Zacharias and Elizabeth, God made a way. So we still see God working through birth or conception many, many times, but not in the way He did with Mary. So Gabriel told her that the Holy Spirit would overshadow her and the Holy Child would then be the real and actual and heaven-proclaimed Son of God. Now, folks, you will hear many times, unfortunately, mankind, scholars, and atheists proclaim that, oh no, Mary had relations with a Roman soldier or something like that, and that was just an excuse. Folks, don't pay no attention to that kind of garbage. That's just people trying to take away the divinity of Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God. He is God the Son. And we should never forget that. And I don't think we in this church do. And I would pray that no real Christian would. He was the heaven-proclaimed Son of God. Remember last week we went over Isaiah chapter 9, starting at verse 6. It says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. God knew all along that the Son, the second person of the Trinity, was going to be sent to earth. And the only way that He could remain pure without the stain of sin was to be born of a virgin. You see, we as human beings, we owe God a sin debt. We are going to have to pay for our sin unless that sin is already paid for. And you've heard this analogy many, many times, but imagine you've been arrested and you stand before a judge and he proclaims that you're going to have to pay a $100,000 fine or spend 6 months in jail, and all of a sudden from out of nowhere someone says, I got it. This is what God, through God the Son, has done for us. When we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, we're already saved. He got it. But the only way He could get it was to be the perfect sacrifice. And the only perfect thing in this entire universe is God. Therefore, God paid a debt that we owed but couldn't pay. So he became man to pay that debt that we owe to him. It's amazing how much he loved us. For God shows his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Before we were even born, we were going to be sinners, but in eternity past, God made a way through this Christ that was to be born of this basically preteen or early teen Jewish girl. But you see, God is the God of the entire world. Yes, He is the God of Israel. And through them came the Messiah. But He is God over everything, over everybody. And we look unto Him as the Son of God to forgive us, to love us, to accept us when it is our time. It's amazing to me. For proof, Gabriel told her, hey, your cousin Elizabeth, she's in her 6th month. Now, Zacharias and Elizabeth did it the old-fashioned way. Okay? In fact, we read earlier in Luke chapter 1 that after his time in the temple was finished, he went back home and knew his wife in the biblical way, and John the Baptist was conceived. And his mission was also proclaimed. He would be the forerunner of the Messiah. It's an amazing thing that God did everything in lockstep with His plan from eternity past. And what was Mary's response to Gabriel's answer? He said, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. Folks, even outside the Christmas narrative, outside the Christmas story, we cling to that verse, because this world, our flesh, and the enemy of our souls is always trying to tell us it's impossible. But we know, because we are the blood-bought children of God through Jesus Christ our Lord, that nothing is impossible with God. That problem that you think is insurmountable, it's nothing. If He created this universe, if He's flung the stars and the galaxies in a million different directions all over the universal sky, don't you think He can handle your problem? Don't you think He can help you with your health, with your finances, with your children or your grandchildren, or in some cases your great-grandchildren? Young folks, don't you think He can help you with your school? He invented all those things that you're studying. I don't know. I think trigonometry, though, that was founded in hell, but that's a whole other story. That one's for my daughter because she's struggling with it. No, He gave us the wisdom to come up with trig and all those other things. But all of life, nothing is impossible with God. Now, what was Mary's response to that statement? Verse 38, and Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. You see, it wasn't like Zacharias. You got to show me, you got to prove me. What's gonna, you know, how can I know? No, Mary just said, she wanted to figure out how she was going to get pregnant. Okay, we understand that. But then she said, may it be unto me according to thy word. Folks, how often do we say that to God when we know that God wants us to do something? When He gives us a word, when He gives us a song, when He gives us a feeling of knowing that He's there. And it comes in the strangest ways sometimes. It can be, like I said, a song or something on the radio. It can be a handshake. It can be a hug. It can be watching the sunrise as you're on your way to work in the morning. It can be in many different ways that God says, I'm here. And I'm here for you. So folks, this Christmas season, and every Christmas season, yeah, we have fun, we have parties, we have gifts and all that stuff, but that's not what it's about. What it is about is that God loved us so much that He became man. God the Son became man and took our penalty for the sin that we commit. No man, Romans 1 tells us that no man can say, I'm righteous, because all men have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All women too. brothers and sisters, it is because this Christ came at the time we celebrate Christmas. Was He born on December 25th? No. Okay? He wasn't. But we choose this time to celebrate the incarnation. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. Now, all that being said, let's think about Mary's response. It's a foreshadowing. When she says, "May it be unto me according to thy word," that is a foreshadowing of what would happen in the garden 30 years later. Not my will, but thy will be done. And it also reminds us of the echo in the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer, when Christ said, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." It's all the same vein. It's faith. Mary had faith. Even old Zacharias, I've been picking on him, but he had faith too. He was doing what his faith told him to do when Gabriel came to see him. These are powerful sentiments when believed and acted on in faith. You see, when we act in obedient faith, God accomplishes the human impossibilities still to this day. When we act in faith and believe in the Word of God and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and receive the Holy Spirit into our hearts and souls, the impossible becomes the possible. Where we have the problem is, sometimes our mind thinks differently than God's will. We want certain things in certain ways and certain times, and God doesn't act like that. Folks, I got news for us. Even though we have been blood-bought children of God, let me ask you this. Do you always give your children what they want, at when they want it, how they want it? Why? Because we have the wisdom that our children haven't developed yet. Now, they may develop into a very wise, very God-fearing, very whatever type individual. They may develop into that. But while they are children, they need guidance. God gives us guidance through the Word, through the Holy Spirit, through every machination that God has done through Jesus Christ our Lord, so that we will be obedient servants, obedient children. And therefore, when we are that, He works His will in miraculous and wonderful ways through our lives. And we may not even get to know the result until we get to be with Him in eternity. But needless to say, if you are a child of God, He is working through you. The possible is always available, even though the enemy says it's impossible. Brothers and sisters, circumstance and situations give us the opportunity to recall Gabriel's words, "For with God nothing is impossible." You see, there's a song, I can't even remember the author, but the song is "He's Alive." And it talks about when Peter and all the disciples are in the room and Jesus comes in and "He's alive, He's alive." I don't know if you recognize that song, but there's a line in that song that says, "Circumstances and situations couldn't lift you very high, for they had seen Him crucified and then they watched Him die. But they also found out He was resurrected. He's a living, coming again, holy, righteous Savior. And it started with a word to this 12-year-old girl." Folks, one day we may find ourselves alone in a hospital room after the doctor tells us that we or our spouse or our child is soon to depart this world. We may find ourselves reeling from the betrayal of a friend or a spouse or a sibling. We may be staring at mounting debts after being told the company is downsizing and our services are no longer needed. We may stand before a wrecked vehicle or a smoldering pile of wood that once was our home. We may be on our knees as a child tells us that they've turned their backs on the Lord. There are so many situations that seem impossible to overcome. Yet the main reason we celebrate the birth of Christ is that God is with us. Hope has come through Christ. Remember, the book of Hebrews tells us that faith is the hope of things unseen. We don't see Christ except through the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, but He is there nonetheless. And He is coming again. And all these things I just listed will fade into the past because He wipes away all tears when we get to be with Him. And here's the great thing. We get to be with Him right now. The Holy Spirit indwells us in Jesus Christ with us right now. We can call out to Him. We can celebrate Him. We can beg Him. We can do everything. We can just talk to Him. And you know what? Nothing is impossible with God. He hears every prayer. He hears every cry. He sees every tear. Because not only do we have hope through Christ for eternal reconciliation with the Father, heaven and everlasting life is what I mean by that. We have hope right here, right now. And folks, this time we're going to start having to start live by that faith. Because every time we turn on TV, every time we turn on something, you know, all the frivolous stuff of this world disappears. We know something is coming, and it's coming soon. And I praise God for that. The Bible tells us the blessed are those that look for His coming. I'm paraphrasing, but that's what it says. And I want to confess to you today that without this hope, I would not be here. Every heartbeat that I have and every breath that I take is based on the hope I have in Jesus Christ. I desire to all my heart to be like Mary and feel, think, and act in humble adoration to God the Father through Jesus the Son with the power of the Holy Spirit that not only came upon her, but enters into every believer in Jesus Christ. And let me be willing to also say, Lord, let it be to Your servant according to Your word. For I know that when I do, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. Praise team. Now, folks, I was joking with somebody before the service this morning about how I love Christmas, but I hate the holidays. And what I mean by that is your schedule is always messed up and things are changing and you got stress with family and work and school and all that stuff. God is good. Amen, brother. But what I want to tell you here is don't let this season pass. Because sometimes we get so embroiled with all those other things that we miss the opportunity that God gives us to worship and serve Him. With kindness, amen, brother, kindness, humility, and love. For by this you will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Amen? Amen. Amen.